You're listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, we are looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we gather here this morning, seeking your wisdom, seeking your guidance, and looking for your love. And we thank you that your love, your spirit, and your presence are here with us today. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Now, it wasn't meant to go this way. It wasn't part of the plan, but I'm coaching basketball again this year. It happened really subtly, too. I told the coach I would help out a bit. I went and I helped out with the tryouts, helped run the tryouts so that the coach could pick the team she wanted to have. And I told her that I would be willing to help out with practices once in a while. And that was the plan, really. Whatever team Anthony made, I would help out on occasion. Well, he made the AAA boys team at TL. Only one to two grade sixes, if I can brag a little bit. But there he is. And then the coach, she came to me and said, well, I don't like running practices. I don't know a lot of drills. And so could you run the practices? Okay, sure, I can run practices. That's not a problem. So that's what I was doing. And then the other day she comes and she says, you know, if you're going to be at the games, you can sit on the bench and I can write you down as head coach. That way you can talk to the referees. Well, she's a clever woman. And I'm now the head coach. Now, thankfully, she's really good at the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, she's the one that will talk to the principal. She's the one that will talk to the league coordinator. She's the one that will go talk to the other coaches. So all I have to do is worry about what's happening on the floor. So that's a relief for me. And she's taking care of some of those headaches. She also knows that whatever I need to do here as part of my work for the church comes first. And she's happy with that arrangement. If I can't make it, she can make do a few times without me. And she's got her son to help out as well. She's got some help there. And she's happy with that. So now, after we've had a couple weeks of practices, we have our first game tomorrow night in Sydney. Now, over these couple weeks, the boys, they've been working hard. They've been already showing improvement. They're coming together as a team, all good things. And we're excited to have our first game tomorrow night. First games are always really interesting. Because what you do in practice over and over again, you throw it into a game situation and things change, right? You've got another team that's going to do things differently than what you did in practice. You've got referees, you've got a score clock, you've got fans, the pressure's on. So we don't know exactly what we're going to look like tomorrow night. It could be very different than what we've been doing in practices. Not only that, but we're going into the game kind of blind. We have no idea what the other teams in the league look like. Are we a good team? We have no idea. We just know that we have players who can do things and other teams that have players that can do things and they may be better than us or they may not. So we're going to find out a lot of things. So tomorrow night we'll walk into a Sydney gym, nervous, lots of nervous energy, and we will do our best to do something on that floor. At the final buzzer at the end of the game, we will know a lot more about ourselves than when the clock started. And in between those two moments, we'll have about 45 minutes of game time to see what we have, to learn about ourselves as we go. At the end of the game, we'll sit down, we'll say what worked, what didn't work, what do we need to change, what needs to be adjusted, and we'll get to try it again, Friday night in our own gym as we host a game. Now, hopefully by the end of February, Well, we've worked out enough of those kinks in our system to have what we hope to consider will be a good season. I call a good season a year when the team develops skills as players and as a team together and has fun. It doesn't matter if we win every game or we lose every game. Wins and losses don't tell the whole story. What tells the story is who we are as a collection of people working together, players and coaches, to fulfill a goal, a purpose. I think about my first year coaching. Jackie and I coached the Jubilee Elementary girls, grades 5s and 6s. How many games did we win that year? None. We didn't win a single game. A grade 4 girls won a game, but 5s and 6s, our main team, did not win a single game. But the girls improved over that year a lot. Like, they really worked hard, and they improved as players and as a team over that year. And we were very proud of them. They did. They had a good year. We had a lot of fun. And that really, that's what we wanted for the girls to have, fun and learn. And now I'm happy to see those girls as they progress through. They're playing on basketball Cape Breton rep teams. They're playing for Memorial. So overall, when I look back at that first season, while the record was terrible, it was a successful year. We had a good season. Now, you're thinking to yourself probably by now, Nick, these are great stories. What in the world does it have to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're a team here at Carmen. We have a head coach. We have people who fulfill specific roles in the team. We have supporters. We might even have fans. We have an entire team right here. And who am I? Am I the head coach? No. I'm not. I might be the point guard if you're thinking basketball, or the quarterback if you're thinking football, or maybe team captain I might be. But who's the head coach? Well, let me ask you another question, because it's the same answer. Who owns this church? You do? It's not me. Is it you? Is it the United Church of Canada? Who owns this church? God owns this church. God owns this church. It doesn't matter whose name is on the deed. God owns the church. At least that's how we need to be thinking about it. God is our head coach. He's our owner. He's our general manager. He is the one who should be in complete control here. He is the one we want calling all the shots, not us. He has the plan, and we need to listen to him and his guidance about what roles we play in the game. And isn't it great he sent us a superstar to lead us, who is not me. That's Jesus. Jesus is the superstar that we rally behind. He is the one that leads us into the battle, the game. So if God is our head coach, our owner, our general manager, and Jesus is our star, what is our goal? How will we evolve over the season that is our life? How is our lives impacted under the leadership of God and Jesus Christ? So let's take a little turn and go back to our scripture reading from this morning. Initially, it seems a little cryptic to us, maybe, if you're listening carefully, because John's added some words in this letter that might throw us a bit. He's getting to the end of his letter, and all of a sudden he throws in a couple words that we haven't seen yet in this entire letter that we're maybe not quite sure what we're going to do with. And so that verse is the first one we read, verse 6 of 1 John 5. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. Now those words, water and blood, we haven't seen in this letter yet. We're almost finished. So where did it come from? I know when I was reading through the reading again to prepare the message for this morning, I came to, he came by the water and the blood. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? Did I miss something? What's John trying to say to us? Have you ever walked in a room and the conversation is really going about some particular topic and you think, wow, I might be interested in that, but they're so far into it, you're afraid to ask what they're saying? I think that's kind of what the reading does for us today. We've been hearing John over the last couple weeks talking about love, loving God, and following Jesus, and then, you know, all of a sudden he drops in two new words that kind of catch us off guard, the water and the blood. It feels like there's something we're missing, that there's a background piece. There's part of the conversation we're not hearing. Because if he's using these terms without any kind of context in the letter, because we're not seeing any context, then the people must know what he's talking about. He said it somewhere before he wrote the letter. So, just to be sure, I went back and reread the whole thing a couple times. Where's the water and the blood mentioned before? And it's not. This is the first time he mentions it towards the end of the letter. Water and blood. So we wonder, what does it mean? When you think about the context of the church today, well, what's the water and blood for us? Well, that's when we do baptism, when we do communion. Does it mean those things? I don't think it does. John is an eyewitness to the life of Jesus. And I'm sure that when he does baptisms and when they share in the Lord's Supper together, I don't think that that's the water and blood he's talking about. Because he's talking about Jesus coming as an eyewitness to the life of Jesus, that Jesus comes in the water and the blood. So what else can he mean? So if John's an eyewitness, then we need to look at the life of Jesus. Where's the water and the blood in the life of Jesus? Well, the first place, where did Jesus' ministry begin? His ministry began at his baptism. Jesus began his ministry when he came up out of the water, when John the Baptist baptized him, which is a different John, by the way, just in case you're not sure. John the Baptist baptized him, and he came up out of the water, and there's the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen and follow him." So that's the water. So what about the blood? Well, then we need to look at the end of Jesus' life. His death. He was beaten. He was bloodied. He had the spear driven into his side. He poured out, he shed his blood in his death. And that is the blood that John is referring to. Now the blood does not signify the end of his ministry though, does it? It's really another beginning. It's like a new chapter. In his death, Jesus overcame sin. And he also shows that he overcomes death through his resurrection, so that he can go sit at the right hand of our God, his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. So through the water and the blood, Jesus shows us we have hope, that we have life, and that we too will someday be there with him. Jesus came in the water of his baptism, and he also came in his death, in his blood. Now, just to be sure, this is my line of thinking, so I went to be sure that I'm not off the wall too much, and I checked with John R.W. Stott, who's a respected Anglican theologian, and he agrees with me, so I'm hoping I'm on the right path here. But everything between the water and the blood, the water and the blood, so during the earthly life of Jesus, that is where we get his message for us. The message from God himself. And the message is, we love God, we love one another, and we serve as Jesus would have us serve. No one should be left out of the opportunity to know God's love for themselves. And then everything that happens after the blood, after his death, shows us what happens when we follow him. we receive a gift. We receive the Holy Spirit, who is another companion in life's journey to help us connect with God our Father. John says all these things, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, all testify a message, a common message. They're all saying the same thing, and it's that we need to hear, and we need to hear and receive this testimony. It is important for us to know this because it is from God. And the message is all these things testify to Jesus Christ as his Son. And John tells us if we receive this testimony for ourselves, in our hearts, in our lives, and we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, then that testimony is greater than all other things. It's greater than anything else we can imagine ourselves. If we receive this testimony, then we know that we too belong to God. Conversely, if we receive this testimony and we don't believe it, then we have made God out to be a liar, John tells us. We are saying God's wrong because we believe in things that are greater than him if we refuse the testimony. If we refuse the testimony, we are rejecting him, and we're saying we have no place for him in our lives because our actions and our words say we don't believe it. So if we say we don't believe it, then we're saying God is lying. The message of the testimony is simple. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5, verse 12, it says, "Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." If we believe in God and we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. That's good news. The hard part is, for us, what about those who believe differently? What about them? We worry about them. What if there's someone close to us, like our friends, our family, our spouse, our children? What happens to them? Well, the Bible's pretty clear about a number of things. Scripture is clear that Jesus has gone on to prepare a place for those who follow him, those who receive the testimony. But what about everyone else? Well, it's pretty clear there too, that there's a different place for those kinds of people apart from God, for those who reject him or don't believe. So that brings me back to our concept of a team. If we're a team as a church, what is our goal? How do we win? How do we define our success? And that boils down to what the coach wants us to do. The first place to look for the coach's instructions is his instruction manual, his playbook, his Bible. Look to the Word of God. So what are the final instructions Jesus gives to us after the blood? And since we're reading John's letter to the church, we'll go back to the Gospel of John and see what Jesus has to say in his final instructions. So we'll look at John chapter 21, verses 17 and 21. Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because it was the third time Jesus had said to him, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus goes on to say, "Follow me." Jesus, our superstar on the team, tells us we need to feed his sheep. That is, we need to love people and take care of them. And to do this, we need to be able to reach into their lives and touch them and make a difference. And we do this by following. And by following, we learn to love, and we learn to accept people for who they are, and to help them move beyond their struggles and their sin. And Jesus has instructed us, to follow him, we too have the opportunity to extend an invitation for others to follow him as well. I was at a pastor's breakfast Friday morning, and we got into the discussion about how our churches aren't too bad at serving people. We support food banks, we support other organizations, we send money to charities, we might even volunteer at these places. All good things. These are important works to be doing. But then the question was asked, how are we changing lives? Giving money to the food bank is good. Volunteering at places is good. We're helping a family eat when we support the food bank. But does that change their lives? It may for a short period of time. They've got food on the table that frees up some money to pay rent or heat or other utilities. So yes, it does change their lives for a period. But it's a very short period. What about the long term? How are we changing lives? How are we touching them? I'm going to suggest that we're not really doing that. Not just us, but a lot of churches are not doing it. And as the pastors, we agreed on this Friday morning, ultimately it doesn't change lives. It's important work to do, but it's not changing lives. We're showing them love, absolutely we are. But we're not changing lives for the long term. If we believe Jesus wants us to love and to serve, then yes, we're going to continue working at food banks and supporting them financially and any other organizations, community cares or youth centers. That's all very important work to be done. But we also need to be doing that second part, offering an invitation. We need to let people know Jesus is present and that he has a plan for them as well. Because Jesus is the one that ultimately changes lives. We need people to see the life-giving power of Jesus Christ and let him do his work of healing people in their lives, bringing them hope and healing. So when we look at Scripture, we see that this is our goal as a team. To serve, yes, but also to change lives. I would encourage you this week as you pray, to pray about our team here at Carmen and the work that we do, good work that we do. And to ask the question, how can we change lives? Do our own lives need to be changed? Whatever we do, ultimately we have God in our corner. And we have our superstar leader in Jesus Christ. These are all good things. And I can assure you, we are on the right team. Because in the water and in the blood, we have victory on our side. We have much to offer. And we do offer. And we can also offer the love of God through our service. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we thank you for the power and the life we find in the great testimony of water, blood, and spirit. We thank you for bringing us together in this team. And we look together to you for guidance and strength to fight for the victory you have put before us on the cross. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be at our side as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, our lead and our inspiration. We ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.